Our text begins with an expert of the law of Moses. So this was a biblical scholar who knew all the ins and outs of what we would call the Old Testament. And he comes to Jesus probably less out of curiosity and more to test Jesus. He asks him this question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "You're the expert. You tell me." And so he does. "You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus says, "Yes, you've answered correctly. Now go and do it, and you will live." But this expert in the law wants to justify or to vindicate himself. In other words, he wants to feel good about himself, that he has done what is enough, that he's fulfilled this transaction between himself and God, that he's done enough of the good works of God so that he can say, "I have earned it. Now I am confident that I will inherit eternal life." And so we ask the question, who is my neighbor? Perhaps like many legal scholars, he's looking for a loophole in the law, a way of treating others not according to the love of God, not loving them as you would have them do unto yourself. And famously, the largest group of people that the Jews disliked were the Samaritans. So maybe he had them in his mind, perhaps. Or the Roman occupation, the Gentiles that were oppressing them and have taken over their nation. Jesus answers that question, "Who is my neighbor?" as he often brilliantly does by telling a story. And the story he tells is of a man who is traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, presumably, this person was in Jerusalem, maybe on business, but maybe even more significantly, at the temple worshiping, maybe giving his offering, and then going back to Jericho, perhaps where he was from. This road from Jerusalem to Jericho is a treacherous one. It may be the same road that the psalmist had in mind when he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Because as he walked through this desert land, this wilderness, there were large rocky walls on side to side. There were many places where robbers could hide in the shadows and ambush people as they walked by. And so that's what happens to this unfortunate person. He's ambushed, he's stripped naked. They steal all his stuff. We don't even know who it was that did this. And they leave him for dead. Our text says he was half dead. We would say critically injured, as he was. Without any intervention, most likely would have died. It just so happens that a priest walks by. And the priest walks on the other side. And we don't even know why, but we can guess. And so a Levite also passes by and then also goes to the other side of the road. They were going toward Jerusalem. And if you know anything about the law, as this expert of the law knew, that to touch a dead body on your way to the temple would make it impossible for you to enter the temple. You would have to go through ritual cleansing, which would take a lot of time. So they wouldn't be able to do the worship or the business that they were intending to do. And then a Samaritan, who also just happens to be traveling, this foreigner, this stranger, this next door neighbor, so to speak, of the nation of Israel, walks by, and he takes care of him. Now, it's really important to understand what a Samaritan is. A Samaritan is the closest thing to a Jew because they were like cousins. The Samaritans broke off with Israel when Judah and Israel split. And so Judah, the nation of Judah, became the Judeans or the Jews. And the nation of Israel became the Samaritans. The Samaritans did not have the rest of what we would call the Hebrew Bible. They just had primarily the book of Moses, the first five books of the Bible. And so Jesus, in telling this story, is masterful because just on that limited knowledge, which is rich, by the way, the first five books of the Bible, just on that limited knowledge, this Samaritan demonstrates the love of God to this unknown person that he rescues you. Think about his being moved with compassion, as we see here. Maybe he was thinking of the story of Cain and Abel, when Cain leads his brother out into the wilderness and slays him and leaves him for dead. And his blood is crying out for justice, Scripture says. When Cain is asked where his brother is, he says, am I my brother's keeper? Am I a neighbor? Is he my neighbor? Similar question to the expert of the law. Joseph is also left for dead by his brothers, as you recall, when they threw him into a pit. They were not moved with compassion for their own brother who was crying out for help and salvation. And he was ultimately drawn out by slave traders and taken into Egypt. The Samaritans would have revered the story, as Jewish people would, of the Exodus, how the Hebrews spent generations as slaves in Egypt. And then when they are led out into freedom, God gives them the law, the Ten Commandments. And Moses, in explaining the law, says, do not mistreat the alien in your midst or oppress them. For you were once sojourners in the land of Egypt. Maybe the Samaritan was thinking of that text, not to mistreat the foreigner as I am a foreigner dwelling here in my midst. I recently learned about a story that happened a long time ago about a French son born into a military family. At age 8, he felt a call to become a priest. In 1959, he was sent to Algeria by the French government to suppress the uprising there, as they were looking for the liberation and independence of Algeria from French occupation. It was in that first year that he was there that Christian Cherizet was ambushed by Islamic militants. And it was a Muslim police officer by the name of Mohammed that stood between him and his would-be murderers. Muhammad saved his life. For Christian, it was the Good Samaritan, an unexpected source of protection and life for him. And he even went further, that this Muhammad person was Christ to me in saving my life. The next day, Muhammad himself was ambushed and killed by the same militants. After that, Christian Cherizet went back to France and he continued to pursue the priesthood, remembering this Good Samaritan that preserved his life. So the Samaritan is also moved with compassion and empathy for this stranger, this person that he had never met. Stripped naked, so he couldn't even identify what ethnicity he was, most likely. The Samaritan believed that he was his brother's keeper, even though it was the brother of a different mother. His blood is also crying out for justice, but the Samaritan doesn't take this justice into his hands for retributive justice, but restorative justice. He brings healing. He restores him to health. I'm sure that they become friends. He makes the friends of the innkeeper. And so, to the extent that he can, he makes this wrong a right. He answers the question not who is my neighbor, but that I was. Am I a neighbor? That I was the neighbor to this unfortunate man that was left for dead. Because of what happened to Christian Cherge in Algeria, in 1971, he went back to Algeria, now as a missionary. He joined a monastery in Turbarine, Algeria. He soon became the prior, which was the head of the monastery, and he decided along with the other monks to become a witness, to become a neighbor that had taken residence there in Algeria that was vastly and predominantly Muslim. They witnessed to Christ and the gospel to them. They brought medical care, just like the Samaritan brought to this man in the desert. They brought education. But in their 25 years there, there arose a civil war. And then Christian Cherge, along with six other monks, were kidnapped, and they were later killed by Islamic militants in the country. And so you see a reversal here of Samaritan to Samaritan and Samaritan to Samaritan, bridging those divides between ethnic groups and languages and cultures and even religion to show the light and the love of Christ. The writer of Hebrews calls us to this, to be a good neighbor. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels unawares. We never know who we are serving when we are a good neighbor to those around us. And ultimately, who is the greatest neighbor but Jesus? Jesus coming from the kingdom of heaven to the kingdoms of our world, from heaven to earth, becoming human, moved with compassion and love, just like the Samaritan was for the man left for dead. Jesus binds up our wounds, heals our diseases, unshackles our chains, and makes us free in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He takes the injustices that we experience. He rights those wrongs, not with a retributive justice by getting people what they deserve, but by restoring relationships, by bringing about reconciliation, forgiveness, and ultimately a better life here and in the life of the world to come. This is what it means to be a good neighbor. Jesus says, go and do likewise. Be the good neighbor to those around us. Those neighbors, they might be strangers, but then we become neighbors. And then we become sisters and brothers of Christ, true daughters and sons of the living God. In the name of Jesus, amen.